It's been a blessing. I realize that many of you have been here for a long time, and so maybe it sometimes becomes kind of rote that we come here and remind you, tell you, you know, we're still doing it, and you need to keep praying, and you need to keep giving, you need to keep sending, and so on and so forth. But hopefully there's also a few people here that maybe are here for the first time, and maybe some that never really got involved. And as I watched this video again, I was going to say, if you haven't been involved from the beginning and never got involved, you should. But after watching it again, I think I should say, if you didn't get involved from the beginning, I'm not surprised. Seeing the two young people on that screen wondering, what in the world are we sending them out for? What are they going to accomplish? And so I'm not surprised that some of you may have been quite skeptical, but by God's grace and thanks to a wonderful team of co-workers, you know, we were just a bunch of nobodies trying to exalt somebody and preach the gospel to everybody we could reach. And it's just been, it's been a wild ride. It's been exciting. It's been sometimes hard, sometimes frustrating. But God's grace has been sufficient all along. Even those times we wanted to quit, or at times we were thinking it was not going to work out. But the Lord has just been so good to us, and we're thankful. There's so much I want to say, and I hope I won't take too long in just the introduction. But the pictures that you saw, like Brian said, they're real. They're the real deal. But they don't really give the whole picture. Yeah. Yeah. I hope it does encourage you, because it encourages me, and I'm there. But just seeing them again, and it's hard to pick out just a few, because I've got thousands of them, and they're all real. You know, some of them may be people that are not in the church anymore, but, you know, people that got saved, people that are serving the Lord. But they don't tell everything. They don't show the fervent prayers of you people back home. But that's the fruit of those prayers. And the prayers are the ones that are the reasons that, you know, we could wake up the day after a difficult day and say, well, we'll just keep on trying, you know. And that's the prayers. They don't show the generous gifts that kept us there year after year. Allowed us to spend the first year in intense language study without having to go to a 10-hour-a-day job. You know, we studied Polish every day, and then within 8 months, we were preaching on the streets. And that's that you can't see on the... You see a picture of us studying, but you can't really understand until you've actually tried to learn that crazy language. But your prayers is what we're thankful for. It doesn't show the effects of the millions, and I mean millions, of gospel tracts that we have passed out in Poland over the years. We quit counting a long time ago, but that's not the point. The point is, we don't know. Nobody knows. Yeah. But we just keep on passing those tracts out, because God can work through the printed word.
Amen.
And it doesn't show the 1 year's worth of effect of billboards that we had up for the whole year of COVID. We couldn't even go on the streets, hardly, because people were wearing masks. They wouldn't even come up to us. They would avoid us. They would ask if the tracks were sanitized, you know. And come on, people. But anyway, I thought, well, one day I'm driving down the street and I see this billboard. I've always wanted to do a billboard. That's, who knows, you know? So I called the place up and I asked how much it costs to rent the billboard. And she said the equivalent of about $110 a month. I said, what do I sign the contract? Good night. yes, we'll take it for a whole year. You know, I got a good deal, and for a whole year, we changed the text, you know, the content every month or so. So that was exciting. We'll never know the effect of that until we get to heaven.
Right,
you know,
right.
The tens of thousands of Gospels of John and New Testaments that have been passed out, not just by us. We actually have passed out very few New Testaments, but we have, I think that we have at least 85,000 New Testaments that we have had shipped to us to Torun, and then shipped out to other churches all over the country. They just pass them out all over the place. So the New Testament has gone out all over the country. Doesn't show the effect of that, but eternity will. We sent 5,000 Bibles in boxes of 16 to every church in Poland, free of charge. Just, so every church would have some Bibles in case they're poor, can't afford them, or give them as gifts to new members or whatever. We just, 5,000 Bibles. We printed over 50,000 Bibles since 2017, I think.
Yeah.
50,000 Bibles that we have printed. And over 35,000 of those have already gone out. They've been sold. People buy them. Bookstores buy them. At least 10 bookstores in Poland regularly buy Bibles from us and then sell them on the internet. It is astounding. It is the cheapest Bible on the market. We're not making money on it ourselves. I don't get a dime. George doesn't get a dime. Brent and Jan's never got a dime. We don't get any money from the Bible sales. But the Bibles are all over the place, and it's the cheapest Bible out there.
Amen.
And we're just thankful.
Amen.
Yeah.
That we were able to be a part of that, and that you were a part of that.
Yes, right. Amen.
Again, many of you probably thought, what are these yahoos think they're doing? Yeah, we understand. We got that in Poland all the time. Two Americans are going to update a Polish Bible. Seriously? Seriously? Are you joking? Yeah. No, we're not joking, but it does sound funny. But we're thankful that y'all have a part in that.
Amen.
I guess what I want to say is, if you didn't have a part and never had a part in what you saw, whether on this video or the one from Puebla, you really should consider it. You really should. Because I don't know anybody here that had a part in it and says, man, I could have bought me another gun. I could have bought some bigger tires for my big old truck. But instead, they bought gospel tracts, or they printed Bibles, or they went down to another village and preached the gospel. No, I could have had another gun. No, I don't think so.
Amen.
Now, maybe years back when we didn't have, you know, such fruit to show you what God has done, maybe you were thinking, you know, maybe I should have bought that gun. Maybe this is not the people we need to be supporting. But anyway, you hung in there, and we're just thankful. We're
Amen.
Excited about it, and we're just rejoicing. We have a few praises, like Debbie said. We have people coming faithfully and serving, and two people, like you saw, are going out now with us on the streets, and just found out, wow, since we're in the States, one of them started preaching on the streets, and the second one is going to preach on Sunday on the streets with the church, so they're kind of getting some motivation for us not being there, so we might just stay here for about 6 months and see if they just carry it on, right? Anyway, the church has met, it's been meeting its financial obligations for over 2 years now, month after month, which is a big answer to prayer, So a few souls have been added to the church, and we have three couples that are getting ready to get married in the next 12 months. That's always an exciting time, you know, families, and then children come along, and the church starts growing, and these kids start being raised in a Christian home, which is... And if you were raised in a Christian home, you probably don't know what you've got, because very few people in Poland were raised in a Christian home. We have a few prayer requests. We'll be leaving Torun, Lord willing, in about a year to go to Olsztyn, which is northeast of Torun, about 3 hours. So that's our plan. The church knows about it, and they have mixed emotions, obviously. A little bit worried. So pray for them, because we know the devil likes to start causing trouble. But pray for unity. Pray for brotherly love in the church, and pray for men that will be faithful to lead out. Pray for women in the church who will also be faithful to lead out the different ministries there, that they carry on the vision of the church, that they keep going on the streets and singing and preaching. Amen. That's one thing they really have come to really enjoy doing, and that's a blessing, so hopefully they'll carry on that work. But it will be Debbie and my 14th move in our 38 years in our 8th city. I don't say that to complain. I'm not complaining, and I don't want any pity. I really don't. That's not my point. My point is that I don't know what the future holds. Right now, I could go another 30 years. I feel great, you know. I don't have any real problems or health problems or whatever. But I know, you know, things could change, and so we realize that since it does take a while to get a church going in Poland, it has taken us 11 years in Torun. So we might be in Olsztyn for a while, and who knows, it won't be just our last place, I don't know. But whether it is or not, we're going to move in a year, and we have planned to build a one-story house, because we're sort of tired of climbing stairs. A lot of the apartments in Poland don't have elevators, and we're on the third floor, and it's getting harder and harder, especially for Debbie. But we're just going to, if God wills, if God allows us to, we're going to sell our apartment and sell our little cabin and build just a small one-story house. And we don't plan on just kicking back and relaxing. We just hope that that'll allow us to have enough strength to keep on going another 10 or 20 years, if God wills. And I have no plans on coming back or retiring or whatever. I'm just trying to make it a little bit easier for Debbie, so that maybe she'll just stay a little longer with me, and maybe we can do that again.
Amen.
Amen.
Because I am a debtor. I wasn't saved out of a gang or in prison. I sinned a whole lot more after I got saved, because I was saved at 9 years old, so I don't have much of an excuse for any of my rebellion, however little or big it was, you know, as a saved young man with a great family and great parents. And so I'm a debtor. And I'm just thankful for the opportunity to be able to preach the gospel.
Amen.
In Poland.
Amen.
And it was Debbie not our plan. When Debbie and I stood there in the other room getting ready to get married, it was our plan to go to Mexico, but Poland was not on the radar whatsoever. I don't think we even knew about the country of Poland, but God sent us there, and I have no regrets. It's been a wonderful experience, and we've seen many souls saved, and I hope that the pictures you saw give a little bit of an idea of how exciting it is to be a part of something so much bigger than us.
Yes,
so much bigger.
Right.
Luke chapter 14, I'll just get on with the message here. The message in itself, came out to be pretty long for me, but I'm going to just make it a little bit more brief for the sake of time, and just concentrate on a few things of it. Luke chapter 14, and I want to read starting with verse 15. Luke 14:15. I'll just be wearing this, aren't I? It says, and when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled.
Amen. Amen.
And I'd like to pray. Lord, thank you for your mercy, for saving our souls. Thank you for this privilege of serving you.
Yes.
Thank you for answered prayer and the work you've done. Bless the rest of this meeting, the rest of this conference. May your name be lifted up and glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. He said, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. We have a preparation here. Preparation of a great supper. And this great supper is pretty great because there are multiple courses. You know, you've got forgiveness of sins, and you've got sanctification, you've got justification, you've got life eternal and heaven itself forever. And it's a great supper. And that's what God has done for every one of us. He has gone to the trouble, if I may say, to prepare something out of this world. And he sends this man, this servant, to go and tell those whom he had bid to come. And so he did. The invitation was sent. And he said, come. You know what? That's what Jesus says, come. He didn't say go do. He didn't say give. He didn't say work. He said, come.
Amen.
Unto me, all ye that labor and I have laid, and I will give you rest. And he that cometh unto me, I will no wise cast out.
Amen.
Salvation is a free gift. It is given by grace to all who will just come to Jesus and ask for it. But what happened? He went to them and he said, come, for all things are now ready, just so you make sure you understand that this great supper is not only prepared, but it's all ready. Everything is ready. It's been paid for. Your sins have been paid for.
Amen.
Everything is ready.
Thank you, Lord.
He's got to come.
That's right. Yeah.
And what happened? There was a rejection. They all began with one consent to make excuse. And it doesn't matter what the excuse is, there's no excuse for turning down this invitation.
Yep.
I don't care what your excuse is today. If you're not saved today, there is no excuse, because God is offering you something so out of this world, so amazing, so available to everyone, that you will spend eternity in a burning hell regretting it. Don't make excuses, because you will regret them for eternity.
Yeah. Right.
But then we have an extension of this invitation, because he says, when they made the excuses, and we won't go into the excuses, but basically it's possessions, it's profession, and it's relation. It's your family, it's your job, it's your stuff. And people are going to go to hell because they love their stuff, because they love their job, they love their money, they love their family too much, and they're willing to reject God and go to hell for all these silly reasons.
Yep.
And so what did this certain man who made the supper, what did he say? He said in verse 21, it says he was angry, and he said, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. So this extension is an extension of the invitation to go to all kinds of, what's the word? Deplorables. Yeah? The maimed, the halt, the blind. Go and get those undesirables, deplorables, and bring them here. I've got a supper ready for them.
Amen.
And what did he say? What did the servant say? And this is what I want to get to. In verse 22, we have the realization of this extension of this invitation. He says, Lord, let me get back to my verse. It is done. Mm-hmm. Lord, it is done. Isn't that the kind of servant everybody would like to have?
Yep. Amen.
The kind of employee you want to have? The kind of co-worker you want to have? Mm-hmm. The kind of child you want to have? Yes, I did it. It's done. You gave me a job to do. I did it. Yep. It is done. He didn't say, you know what? If them people want to come badly enough, they'll show up. Oh, what do you mean they'll show up if they want to come badly enough? This man made a supper and he's wanting to invite all these people. When you make a supper, you're telling me that you don't invite anybody when you have a great supper? You just hope that maybe someone will think about maybe dropping by for a supper with you? You invite people! And how do you feel when they say, you know what, I don't know, I just bought a new car and I want to take it for a spin. I bought a new truck. I'm going to go out and shoot my gun. I want to have some fun. I want to just go and just take it easy. Okay, fine. But this servant, he said, it is done. He didn't say, why bother? The first group already turned you down. Forget about it. They don't want you. So just, let's just eat you and me together. Forget about everybody else. He didn't say, I found some respectable people. Why go to these people? I know some real respectable religious people, and I think they'll come. Jesus, the Bible says that Jesus Christ came around to save sinners.
Amen.
Of whom I am chief. He didn't say all that. He just said what? It is done. The servant also didn't say, you know what? I bought a piece of ground and I want to go look at it. How many of you are using that kind of excuse to not do what God told you to do?
Amen.
You're saved. God tells you something and you say, I just bought some land. Can't give that up.
Amen.
I just bought a house. I just bought a new car. I just got married. I've got parents. They might not like it too much. My friends. He said, it is done. But then he said, as thou hast commanded. He didn't just do it. He did exactly what he was told to do.
Yep.
He did exactly what he was told to do. I read reading this morning in Genesis where it says that when God told Noah to build the ark, and I think it says basically the same, I can't quote it exactly, but it said Noah did just as God had commanded him. God warned Noah, there's going to be a flood. And it's going to wipe out everybody. You better build a big boat to save your family. Now, maybe you think you would have believed it. Maybe you wouldn't have believed it. But Noah believed it. Even though he had never seen rain, never seen a flood. He said, you know what? If God said it's going to flood, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to build this huge boat. He did what God told him to do. To save his family. Are you doing what God told you to do to save your family, to save your neighbors, to save your friends, to save whoever you can? It is done as thou hast commanded. But then, the last thing he said, and that's what I want to get to mainly tonight, and that is the last part of verse 22. And yet there is room.
Amen.
I went out and invited all these crippled people, and they came, and they're here at the feast, but there's still room.
Amen.
Amen.
You think God was surprised to hear there's still room? I think when God made this supper, He figured into His plans. Yeah, you know what? There's probably going to be quite a few people. I'm going to make sure there's enough room for everybody. Yep. There's enough room. He said, yet there is room. What He didn't say, He didn't say, Lord, that's enough of these deplorables. Let's bring in some respectable people. He just said, there's room. He didn't qualify who should be invited. He just said, hey, I've done it, and there's more room. He didn't say, Lord, I brought a few, but can I just go play now? Can I just take it easy now? Can I retire? Well, I brought a few, but so-and-so didn't bring anybody. Make him go and bring some. I've done my part. He didn't say that. He didn't say, okay, Lord, we got 144,000. That's enough. No more. There's still room.
Thank you, Lord.
2021, there's still room.
Amen. Amen.
That's right.
There's room at the cross for you.
Yep.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
It says in Revelation, it says, listen to these words, similar to Brent's favorite verse. I don't have a favorite verse. This is too many. I can't find my favorite. They're all so good. And the Spirit and the Bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Whosoever will. Are you willing to come to Jesus, confess to Him your sins, put all your faith in Him and Him alone? If you are, He says, come and take the water of life freely. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the table. It says there that Jesus sat at the table and many publicans and sinners came to the table to eat with Him. There's room at the table.
Amen.
I don't find Jesus saying, oh, wait. This table is reserved. No. We're at the max here. No. This is an 8-person table. Go get your own table. No, there's room at the table. Jesus invites everybody to come. Just come and believe
Amen.
On Him.
Amen.
There's room. There's room in His house. What did He say about His Father's house? Strange house, right? In my Father's house, there are many mansions. How do you fit many mansions in one house? I'm not sure, but in that house, there are many mansions, and there's room in that house for more. There's room in the heavenly city. In our Bible school, this last year, we went through the book of Revelation. And once again, I was going through all the stuff at the end of the book when you talk about this New Jerusalem and all the measurements. And it's like, whoa, this is one big city. 1,500 miles wide. 1,500 miles long. And if you just think that's big, that's not all. Because that's 1,500 miles also high. Now, I don't know how that works, if it's a cube or if it's a pyramid or whatever it is. But even if it was just a square, do you know how many people can fit in 1,500 miles square? I did some figures, just so you know. Now, maybe some of you think that a quarter-acre lot is just, you know, too small for Texas, but hey, you can fit almost 6 billion quarter-acre lots in 1,500 miles square. 6 billion? And if it's a pyramid of some kind, you're going to double it. My point is, there is room. God has done the figures. He knows what He's doing. There's room for more people.
Amen.
There's room in the city. There's room for your coworker. There's room for your boss.
Yep.
There's room for your mom, your dad, your child, your neighbor.
Amen.
There's still room. God is not tired. God is not seeing the capacity level getting to the point, oh boy, I'm in trouble now. I should have built this a little bit bigger. I should have taken into account how many people are going to be born in China over the last, or India over the last 50 years. You know, God is not surprised.
Yep.
There is room.
Amen.
There's room for Edmund. Edmund in Poland called me up one day. He said, yes, I'm interested in buying. I get all the phone calls. We have a family in our church that does all the distribution, but they don't want to mess with the phone calls. I get all the phone calls. I get some really strange phone calls, you know. I got a phone call one time that says, hey, well, me and my friend have a question. That city in France, is it pronounced Lourdes or Lourdes or something like that? And I'm thinking, why do I care how you pronounce a city in France? I get some weird phone calls. I get a phone call and say, hey, by the way, y'all have this large print Bible. How large is that print? Compared to what? I don't know. I mean, how large is the print? I mean, I can do a close-up and show you it's really fucking really big, you know? I don't know how to explain it. But I got a phone call one time, and a guy says, hey, I saw y'all have leather Bibles, and I'd like to know, I'd like to see one myself. And I'm in Torun today, just for the day, and I'd like to see one. Is that a possibility? So I tried calling this brother that does has the at the warehouse and does the distribution, and he wasn't even there. He wasn't around. So he said, I'm at this place. I'm at the doctor. I'm at the hospital, and I'm here in Torun. I said, okay. I say, I'll come and I'll show you this Bible. So I grabbed Debbie's Bible, which is the same one he wanted to get, you know. So I got in the car and I drove over to this hospital, and I drive up, and here he is on the sidewalk. He's almost 70 years old. He gets in the car. We drive a block and we stop. And I give him the Bible and come to him, look at it. And then he can, if he wants to buy me, he can just get online, buy the Bible. He says, so what are you doing? Who are you? And I said, look, I'm a believer. I'm a pastor and blah, 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 you know. And he says, well, I'm a Jehovah's Witness. And I've been a Jehovah's Witness for 40 years. And I'm having lots of doubts. And I'm thinking, yes. A phone call worth answering. Yes. And I got his number now. It's on my phone, you know. I can call him back, right? Long story short, so I have a Bible study with him on the phone. He lives about 30 minutes away. And he got saved.
Amen.
He got saved. There's room.
Amen.
There's room in your busy schedule to answer a phone call once in a while. You might get a good one.
Yeah.
There's room. There's room for you.
Thank you, Lord.
Are you saved? Are you sure you're saved today? If you're not, there's room for you. There's room in this building for more people.
Amen. Amen.
Now, I hope that sometimes I'll fill up all these chairs, but probably not very often, right? There's room here. I mean, look at these chairs. We can still put more people in here. Wouldn't that be a nice problem to have?
Yeah.
Fill it up. Oh, but then we have to get another building. Oh, I think we probably handle that. We've done it twice already, haven't we? No, but you know, they might get the chairs dirty. I might have more cleaning and more preparation. And come on, there's room for more people.
Amen.
Let's fill it up. There's still room.
Yes.
There's room in your car to bring someone to church.
Amen.
I don't know. Maybe that's kind of passé now. We're so used to our high occupancy vehicles of two people or more. That's funny. In San Antonio, high occupancy vehicle, two people, at least two people. That's high occupancy in Texas, right? Maybe you're not used to that. Hey, maybe you ought to try it. Tell your neighbor, you know what? I'll take you to church. And maybe you say there's room at my table for dinner after that. I'll take you home and give you a meal. There's room. room.
Amen.
There's room in your busy week to tag a few doors.
Amen.
With the gospel. Let's go all across town. Take your block. Hang a few tracts. Hang a few hangers on the doors, on the houses, on your street. And then the next street. And then the next street. There's room in your schedule. There's room in your busy day.
Amen.
To hand out a gospel tract. We pass out lots of tracts in Poland. By the thousands. But when I try to give somebody a tract, like at a coffee shop or at a store or something, many times, no, thank you. I don't want that. I'm not saying that they are rejecting the gospel. I don't think they know what it is. But whatever the point is since I've been here, I have a little bit of room in my phone for a few tracks. There's room in your phone too, probably, for a few tracks. Your wallet or somewhere. And I try to remember when I'm here, I go to the store and I try to give the people at Walmart or wherever I go, give them a track. You know, I don't preach to them. I just say, hey, can I give you something to read? You know, come see us sometime. It might change your life. Whatever. I just get, and every single time, every time, thank you. They don't know what it is. Maybe that's fine. But at least they took it.
Yeah.
And if they'll take it, there's hope.
Yep.
Now, if they reject it, okay. But if they take it, hey, that's one step closer. They've got it in their hands. And they can read it. And they can go to the website. And they can read the verses. They can make a phone call. They can come. There's room in your busy day to hand out a few gospel tracts.
Amen.
There's room. There's room in the fields. Jesus says in Matthew, in chapter 9, a verse we should all know, but maybe you don't know it yet. Maybe you're new. Maybe you're here for the first time. But if you're saved, this is information you should know about. He says, 9:37, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Your employer is not the first one to have problems finding good workers. God has the same problem. And his benefits are a whole lot better. He's given you something that will last forever if you'll just do something for him. You just use your time and your energy and your resources for something other than yourself, and that goes for me too. God promises us eternal dividends.
Amen.
And what do we say? We have our excuses. But he says the harvest truly is plenteous, laborers are few. Pray therefore for the Lord of the harvest. He will send forth laborers into his harvest. There's room in the fields, in the harvest fields, for laborers. It's not too crowded. We're not stepping on each other on the streets of Poland or probably not anywhere else. There is plenty of fields ready.
Right.
There are plenty of fields you can go, and maybe you're not going to harvest the first week. You may be sowing for a while. But there's room. There's room in San Antonio.
Yeah. Yes.
There's room in Mexico. Room in Poland.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Can you ever forget what Brother Don said the other night to us? And it's actually a common question that probably most missionaries are asked. What took you so long?
Yeah.
Why didn't you come sooner?
Yeah.
I don't know how it all works. I don't understand God's mind in many, many ways. But what do you tell someone who says, my mom died?
Yeah.
I just now understand the truth, but And you can't help her. You can't say, well, you know, maybe. No, you cannot say that. And I'm not trying to make you feel guilty for someone dying and going to hell. But what do we say?
Yeah.
What can we say? If you have a good excuse, then I understand. Obviously, we can't all, though. We understand that.
Yes, that's right.
And like Mike said, I think last night, it's not that we're trying to make you feel badly because you have done so much. But maybe there's someone still that can go.
Mm-hmm. Yes, right.
Because these people really are saying, oh man, if I had just heard this sooner. If my mom had heard this. There's room. There's room for Poles and Czechs and Germans and Mexicans and Brazilians and Asians and... There's room. Didn't it say that there was... Didn't John say there that he saw people from every kindred and tribe and tongue and nation? There is room for someone from everywhere. There's still room. Well, that was the observation of the servant. He said, there's still room. Wow, there's still room. Almost like he's saying, now what do we do? There's still room. We got any other ideas? We already got the blind, the maimed, the halt, and all these. But there's still room, so what else can we do? Well, he says in our text, and this is now getting to the end, so bear with me. He says, the Lord said unto the servant, go out! Again? Yep. Go out again. Go out and find some more. I don't know about you, but I don't get tired of people getting saved.
No.
I mean, if you're any bit human at all, one getting saved is like, wow, it does happen.
Amen.
Let's go try it again, you know? Because you go through a dry spell, and you think, you know, maybe it's all over. Maybe that's it. And then someone gets saved, hey, maybe someone will call me today. Maybe another JW. Maybe a Mormon. I don't know who might call, you know? Let's try it again. Go out, he says, into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in.
Yep. Amen.
Compel them. I don't think he's saying, you know, just pray. You ought to be praying. We should all be praying. Probably none of us pray enough. I know I don't. But he says, compel them to come in. Urge them to come in. Try to persuade them to come in. That my house may be filled.
Amen.
This morning I spoke about the determination of Nehemiah and the builders of the wall. They were determined to finish it. You know what we have here? We have God's determination.
Yep.
God says, I want my house filled. I want it filled. So go out. Go find some more.
Amen.
Go find a few more lost souls. Go find a few more Edmunds. Go find a few more. Fill in the blank. Dave Spurgeon's. Just go out. Highways. Stand on the road and preach to them. In the hedges. Go find ones that are hiding in the hedges. Hiding from God. Go find them. And compel them to come in.
Amen.
That my house may be filled.
Amen.
The fact is, there is still room. What can you do about it? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Joe.
Amen.
The message has been absolutely clear.